Welcome to a special episode of Startup Health Now, the weekly show celebrating the healthcare transformers and changemakers who are reimagining healthcare. My name is Stephen Krein.
And I'm Unity Stokes.
And on today's episode, brought to you by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to inspire and educate entrepreneurs and innovators on the opportunities available in underserved communities, we're going to talk to Sally Poblete, the CEO of Wealthy, and Sana Hashmi, the Director of Healthcare Reform Strategy at Emblem Health. This is going to be a great episode.
Stick around.
It is the duty of leaders to lead, of the creative to create, of the daring to do. The free world expects leadership of us. Its fate and our fate depends upon our leadership. We are industrious, inventive, restless, with the fires that burn within us. Well, I say that nothing is easy, and the best things are the hardest. And all our troubles, all our immense difficulties, now and in the future, can I say, be solved if we have the will, the courage. The future is to those who take it.
Welcome back to Startup Health Now, the weekly show celebrating the healthcare transformers and changemakers reimagining healthcare. On today's episode, we're going to spend time with Sally Poblete, the CEO of Wealthy, and Sana Hashmi, who's the Director of Healthcare Reform Strategy at Emblem Health. And this episode, as I mentioned earlier, is a part of the project we're doing with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, which is focusing on a program to help open up everyone's eyes to the opportunities in entrepreneurs connecting with underserved communities. Welcome to today's episode.
Thank you.
Welcome. So thought we'd start with you, Sally. You are a healthcare transformer and an entrepreneur now, but you have such a deep experience in healthcare. You've been in the insurance industry, I think, for maybe 10 years. Why did you decide to become an entrepreneur, and what inspired you to launch Wealthy?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, Unity. And I would say that having been in the inside as an executive at a large health care organization, I had firsthand experience seeing the different opportunities and challenges that the industry has in connecting with consumers and engaging with consumers. And we've come at a really amazing and unique time in the insurance industry with the launch of the Affordable Care Act and the debut of the individual exchanges and opening up access to, you know, close to 50 million uninsured people. And, you know, I was inspired by the need for simplicity in the very complex industry that we're in, and the desire to bring more education and access to all of the people coming into the insurance world for the first time and purchasing care.
And just for the listeners' help, just to kind of give perspective, you were at WellPoint.
I was.
And can you talk a little bit about your role at WellPoint and just kind of how you were able to kind of see this opportunity emerging?
Yeah, so right before I was at WellPoint, and I was leading different product development initiatives and teams across all of the 14 states. So I had a, you know, firsthand view in terms of learning about the needs of the different markets in 14 different states, but also work closely with the different departments within the company, be it sales and marketing and product and actuarial and so forth. And I think what's really striking is that as the industry is transforming into becoming a retail industry, there needs to be a transformation as well in terms of the mindset, the strategic orientation, the skill sets, the tools and capabilities that a health plan needs to bring to bear in order to connect with consumers. And I think that health plans are trying to acquire those skills today and are, you know, in a, again, transformative mode and working with different partners like us to help them connect with consumers in a different way.
So that's a perfect segue into what does Wealthy do and what's the value proposition?
Sure. So Wealthy's mission is to transform the way and simplify the way that consumers understand, learn about, choose, and use their health insurance in kind of the broadest sense. And the product that we offer is a software and analytics platform that helps consumers navigate their different health plan options, the costs, and essentially facilitating their decision to enroll in a plan. But in addition to that, and I would say the real differentiators or key focus areas for us is that we deliver a really super simple consumer experience that consumers are craving for in this very complex industry that we have. And then secondly, we leverage consumer analytics to learn about consumers' demographics, behavior, and preferences that can then be used by health plans to better serve and connect with the prospects and consumers that they're trying to engage with.
So while consumers are the users of your product, who are your customers?
So we work with health plans primarily, but also other healthcare organizations that are trying to provide insurance services to consumers. So Emblem Health is one of our great customers and a terrific partner as we have started the company.
So that's a good segue, Sana. So what has your experience been like? You're working on innovation inside Emblem. What's your experience been like, both working with Wealthy, but also focusing on new technologies, new solutions, and new innovation?
Yeah, I mean, Sally touched on a little bit of it. It's a great time in healthcare. It's absolutely a time to really start doing something new because as an insurance company, Emblem Health has been around for about 75 years. Prior to being Emblem Health, it was GHI and HIP, and its legacy is within New York. And we've done business with corporations and business like the city of New York and other big clients, but doing it at the individual level is a whole new adventure for us. Dealing with individuals who can pick and choose what they'd like and are very strong, and in a world where Twitter and Facebook are immediate access as an insurance company, how do you meet them where they are, in their houses, in their neighborhoods, in their communities? And Emblem Health, the last 3 years has been trying to achieve that. And we've changed everything from our marketing to our operations, trying new ways to be bringing it down to the individual level. Working with Wealthy is one way of doing that. Wealthy gives a simple user experience where individuals can easily understand what they're eligible for from a tax credit perspective or premium perspective with the state and federal subsidies kicked in. It's a way for us to deliver seamless care where they are. They don't have to come to our offices. They don't have to come to talk to our reps. They can sit on their computers, their tablets, and do the calculation themselves by entering a few small demographic information. So Emblem has really focused on trying to move the needle and take our B2B model, which is a business-to-business model, and really turn it into a business-to-consumer model.
And was part of that actually hiring you as director of healthcare reform strategy? Because I think it's interesting that a company would put a title on, give someone a title like that. I think it shows the seriousness that that Emblem has kind of put on this new world that we're living in.
Absolutely. And it's not just the title itself, but my background and where I come from and my age and my demographics. Like, Emblem has made
All right, that
it.
Was loaded. Now talk about each one of those pieces.
So Emblem has made it its priority to bring those consumers that it's targeting into its employee base, because you have to cater and know the consumer to be able to evaluate and deliver what their expectations are. And I am a fairly young director at Emblem Health. I'm 26 years old. That's not the average age as a director at Emblem Health. So it's really gravitated to bringing the newer consumer, those that grew up in the neighborhoods of New York, are based out of New York, know the boroughs, have lived in the boroughs. Because you need to know, and New York is a beast on itself. Anybody who lives in New York will tell you that, right? Brooklyn and Bronx are very different from each other. And Emblem has changed its demographic to resemble its base. It started the What Care Feels Like campaign. We are New York, right? And the people that work there need to fit that demographic. The title, who they put in it, was very thought out, very strategic.
And so I want to bridge that a little bit to kind of the two of you working together, because I think it's really interesting that a large organization would choose to work with a young startup in its earliest days as they build their business. And on the same time, it's very difficult oftentimes for a startup to culturally be able to work with a large organization. What's making it work, or what's helping in making it work between you guys?
Yeah. So I think early in the formation of our company and our product development, and we decided to focus first on the debut of the insurance exchanges in New York and the opportunity that we have to educate the underserved population. We define that as the uninsured population, and that there's so much lack of information, misinformation, and so forth. So we decided to focus there
from day one.
But focus there on day one, and again, educate people to solve a very specific need, which is, hey, you're about to evaluate your insurance options. What do you need? What are the things that you need to consider? And how do you make that right decision? And we met with Sana and her team at Emblem Health, and they were at that juncture as well in their organization as they were coming into this new insurance exchange for the first time, and felt that their role was to educate New Yorkers about this very important topic. So we had a common vision for how do we take this very complicated set of new rules, new regulations, and opportunities from the government and really take that to the consumer where they're
so
at.
So phase one is a synced vision, right? You both mm-hmm. are trying to achieve the same thing. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is that even if you're a large organization coming, everybody's new here, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of dealing with the Affordable Care Act, healthcare reform, and all the things that it means. We're all learning. We're all figuring this out at the same time. But having a common vision probably helps a lot with now what's going to happen as you found each other and kind of explored working together.
And it also seems common philosophy where what you were talking about before in terms of thinking about innovation and even how the teams are built internally. And I think so common vision, but also common philosophy and how you're growing together, I think, seems like that's working for you both.
Absolutely. I think, when looking at Wealthy and what made it really distinct and why we decided to partner with them was because they were very defined in what they were trying to do, right? They weren't boiling the ocean. They weren't coming to us. As large carriers, a lot of time what we see is existing vendors or companies would come and say, we can do this, and 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 we can throw in a ribbon and a bow, and they try and they oversell. And in that complexity, you get subpar product. Wealthy came in with a very clear sort of understanding that met our goals and our philosophy, to your point, and said, this is what we're going to deliver, and we're going to be very good at it. And it was something that we agreed on, and we said, this makes perfect sense. And we stuck to it. There was no trying to broaden the scope or figuring out, and it was like, Wealthy came and they brought a very specific value proposition for us. We had a need, and they were solving for it.
So everything is changing. There's health reform. The ACA is here, and you were sort of alluding to this. What has the impact been on underserved communities as a result of all this change? This is really a good question, I think, for both of you.
Yeah, so it's really exciting. So I think that in 2012, there were about 47 million uninsured in the country. I think that number has gone down to about 41 million recent estimates as of this year. And we all have heard the, stat, somewhere between 8 and 10 million people have enrolled in the federal and state exchanges throughout the country. So there's been a lot of uptake. There's been 7 to 8 million people who have recently signed up for Medicaid and the Child Health Insurance Program, or CHIP, across the country. So Medicaid expansion has really made an impact, in as well as the insurance exchanges and the opportunities for tax credits has really increased the number of people with access to health insurance. So it's really exciting because, again, focused on the underserved population, the uninsured are classic underserved because they don't, as a result of not having insurance and not being able to afford insurance, they also don't typically get preventive care. They're not getting early diagnosis of issues that they have. They have a higher likelihood of having stress and depression from all of the pressures that they have, being a generally low income population. So it's really exciting to see the impact of the new law and all of these expansion opportunities, if you will, to helping individuals actually get access to better care.
Right, but do people understand, because I was, while the numbers are great that it's coming mm-hmm. down, is it enough, right? The idea behind healthcare reform is actually to obviously have a lot more people who weren't on insurance mm-hmm. have insurance. Why was the number not a little bit more, or a little more drastic, or what needs to happen to make it a little bit more significant of a change?
Yeah, I'll mention the my thought on it, and I'm sure Sana has a lot more to add, but an interesting study from McKinsey as of early, I think it's March 2014, said that 80% of the people who did not enroll had a misperception about the affordability of insurance. And an Urban Institute study said that 53 or 56% of the people who qualify for financial assistance did not even know that they could qualify. So this notion of...
So they didn't understand there were even subsidies available for them to help them pay for the insurance.
Exactly. Yep. So there's still so much education that we all as an industry can be doing and should be doing and will be doing this upcoming open enrollment. Because again, it's just very complex.
That's where that simplicity where you guys have focused on, I think, is so important.
Exactly. But son, I'm sure
Emblem seems like education's kind of should be in your title too. So
exactly, a bit longer. All right. Yeah, absolutely. Misconception is one of the driving factors of enrollment, right? People either don't know, think they know, and they don't really know. It's also just it's a very large bill, right? There's a lot in it. The marketplaces is one big aspect of getting insurance. And then you have Medicaid, which got expanded. There's a lot of people out there who said, well, I filled out Medicaid a year ago and I didn't qualify. They don't know that the criteria for Medicaid has changed or that new income is now, you know, make qualify. They just haven't done their research or they don't know where to go to do their research. So they're still relying on dated information. And then you have, you know, the new dual programs. You've got FIDA launching. You've got all these programs that are tethered to, you know, this large bill that is 14,000 plus pages.
So what's So what's Emblem? Because I'm interested in hearing how Emblem is approaching that challenge with kind of a strategy to kind of help change that.
So that's where the education component comes in, right? What we found and is very drastically different for an insurance company is generally an insurance company walked in and wanted to be focused on the sell, right? You want to sell, and that's what you want to do. You want to walk in and sell your product. And that's not atypical of any industry, but, you know, insurance in particular. What we found is that people don't just want the sell. They want the education. And if you can build their confidence and understanding that you understand the law and that they can rely on you to give you information that's transparent, clear, and unbiased, then they're more likely to build a relationship with you. That's very different than, you know, a business which is looking for the lowest price point in quality care. I think consumers are looking for low price points in quality care, but they're also looking for a partner. And Emblem is really focused on that partner piece. We're focused on trying to bring transparent tools, communications that are clear and focused on the facts, not focused on, well, this is the lowest rate in the market. No, it's more so, this is why you should get insurance. Come in and just look, right? We're not at, you don't have to look at just Emblem. Look at whoever you need to look at to make your decisions, but come in and try it. And I think we're really trying to drive home this idea that affordable care is out there now, and you should let go of the things that you've remembered and try it again now.
So are you doing that outreach through the web, television, getting out and physically going out into the communities? Talk a little bit about, and I'd love to learn a little bit more about what you're really doing day to day to make it, to make that impact.
So, I mean, web, digital, it's, we're all, you know, we're in it all from an advertising perspective. What we found, lesson learned, is digital is huge now. You know, back then, TV and marketing and direct marketing would work.
I told my parents that internet thing was going to be big.
Yeah, I don't understand. And, you know, my dad's like, it's not that big. And I'm like, no, Dad, it's pretty big. you know, digital. But more so, we found, we purchased these vans. So we call them our mobile vans. And they're all decked out, and they've got seating and iPads inside and flat screens TVs, and we park them in low income underserved areas. And then we set out and we, you know, we play music and we welcome people in and out of the community to come.
We should have done
questions.
The episode from one of the vans.
That would have my sales
time.
Would love. They're like always showing off the
next
vans.
Next episode in the van if Mark's okay with that.
They are so proud of those vans. We have, you know, we had four. I think we're purchasing another one. So we have them out in the communities 24, well, I think it's 9 to 5 now, but we try to have them as more as possible. We opened up what we call are the neighborhood care centers. They're retail storefronts, so think Apple Store, right? They're there for anybody. You don't have to be a member of Emblem Health. They have quick biometric screenings that you can stop in and do. We have one in Chinatown. We have one in Cambria Heights. And then we have another one in Harlem. And these are storefronts. They've got meeting rooms for the community that you can rent out and come use if you want to have a small little meeting. And they're ways for us to be in the community.
So and you're helping educate through those vans.
Exactly.
So people can go find out more about.
Yep. And they're not staffed with, you know, these are people just that are there to answer questions. And they try to answer any question.
Fantastic.
Would you say a lot of this change has come about since the ACA?
Absolutely. I think Emblem has been in the forefront of change a lot, but the ACA definitely put a consumer lens on, you know, a company and an insurance and opened up a market that generally hadn't been there before.
So what kinds of opportunities then does that open up for entrepreneurs? So you've been in the industry and you're an entrepreneur now. From your perspective, it seems like the ACA has really opened up a treasure trove of opportunities for innovators, for entrepreneurs. Is that true? Or?
I couldn't agree more. I think definitely the Affordable Care Act is the big impetus, the big push in terms of all of the different innovations that are taking place right now, the facilitator, if you will, the incentive to make a lot of change happen. So for us, it's in the area of, you know, education and retailization of healthcare that we are playing in. But I also think for other entrepreneurs, there's a lot of opportunity for, well, what's going to happen once all of these underserved people start coming into the system? They need a lot of support, and they need different kinds of support and care. There was just an article in the New York Times, I think last or earlier this week, about how the newly enrolled Medicaid patient or members are not getting good access to healthcare because there's not enough doctors out there to serve their needs. So we're going to see that kind of pattern of access to actual quality care to be an issue going down the line. And I think opportunities for entrepreneurs, again, to use technology and to use, you know, other means to use technology to augment supply of care. And I know that you're, you know, Emblem's experimenting in those different modalities as well, different ways to deliver care to the community that I think opens up another set of opportunities.
Well, I think what's interesting is that even a couple of years ago, we would never be having a conversation about consumers and patients being at the center of a conversation about healthcare. You know, everything would be through providers and insurance companies, and everybody would talk about employers and other ways. I find it really interesting that you've referenced Apple Store, and I know, Sally, in your product design and the interface, you put a lot of attention on the elegant design and user experience. Can you talk a little bit about today's world where we're all used to iPads and iPhones and these beautiful experiences like Apple stores and its impact on what you now need to do in healthcare, you know, whether you're an insurance company or startup, and how important the packaging of your user experience is?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's gotten significantly more difficult to tell a consumer you have to wait, you know, 3 to 5 days before we get you back to you. It's just not going to happen, you know. And we've learned, and we've had to learn very rapidly, that consumers are more likely to slam you on Twitter than Facebook than call my customer service rep. So I'm like, customer service, you're not doing a good job. They're like, they're not calling us. And, you know, we have to
get on to Twitter.
Yeah. And we have to figure out a way, how do you meet them where they are? And consumers are used to this one-on-one experience, whether it be virtual one-on-one or chat, and immediately being catered to. And once they report their issue, that it is fixed. And if you can't fix it, you tell them that you can't fix it and when it will be fixed. Like, it's very even our pizza now can be tracked to delivery, right? Like, so as an insurer, how do you meet it there? And we've been trying slowly but surely to get there, because that's what the expectation is.
So you're it's impacting everything you're doing to interact
Absolutely.
With it, including the vans and the storefronts and everything.
And does that open it up then to specifically underserved communities, meaning if you got vans going out, does that open up the access?
Yes. I mean, it opens up the ability to meet people where they are. The common thing and the common theme is individuals, they're very busy, and they're
right.
incredibly busy, and they don't have time to meet us at our locations, right? They can schedule an appointment, but they kind of, they'll cancel it, or they won't be able to make it because something comes up and the baby gets sick or something happens. And so these vans are a way to be in their community so that while they're doing the things that they need to be doing, they can also find out more about how to get affordable care.
Yeah.
But it's even to the basis of operations, like to startups, we're thinking about just core systems, right? How do systems become more real time when insurance has not been real time? And everybody out there is so used to now these immediate responses. So there's tons of opportunity to change.
So what advice would both of you have to other innovators, other entrepreneurs, startups, to start focusing on this opportunity now to better help underserved markets?
So my there's so much. I think you have to identify one of the many problems that we are still occurring. You know, I think there was a great point made where the enrollment numbers could have been higher, right? So what happened, right? That's still a complete possibility about what happened with the enrollment numbers and how do we get them to be higher. But more so, like now that people have gotten their care, there's a lot of need around. We found, and members are saying, well, how can I can't just search and say, is this benefit covered? You know, like Google, like, is there something? So, like, there's so many, like, small things that consumers are looking for that are so tiny but so tangible that even a, you know, a widget or gadget, and I'm completely boiling this because I'm a policy person and I have no idea about IT, but, you know, that can help really improve seamless care and get people more information.
So it goes back to designing for for people who are is designing, and I want to both hear your answer, but I also want to understand your product design. Is designing for underserved communities and designing with what you just described different than designing for everyone?
I think so. I think you have to really know the clientele you have to know that population. It's an anecdote we found that the Hispanic population, they focus really heavily on their news channels as the way for them to get information. They are more likely to, you know, use that as their method of information than any other population, right? And not knowing that, you might design something that, you know, may be some other outlet, and then it's contradicting what they're hearing, or it's contradicting, and then it's not going to be as effective. So you really need to know who your population is and what their needs are to be able to design something.
And so was that part of your initial thinking with how you designed Wealthy's product?
Yes, absolutely. And so I'll mention a few things in terms of our design principles. First, it's all about simplicity and ease of use. And I think that's standard across all consumers, not just the underserved, because we are all used to instant gratification on our iPhone, quick. So our initial thinking in education is consumer needs to be able to get through understanding their options and their bottom line costs with the ACA in as little as a minute. And we've been able to accomplish that, where if you went to the exchanges, I mean, I've spent
hours.
You know, minimum of like 45 minutes, upwards of multiple hours to try to navigate. So that was a key goal for us. And then secondly, ability to deliver in different modalities. So on a desktop, on mobile phones, on tablets was for sure, you know, had to be
a
criteria.
You often hear this, a lot of people in underserved communities don't have smartphones and mobile devices that meet this, you know, the same criteria of designing for everyone. I want to hear your own take on the data around that.
Oh, no. So I think everyone, I don't have specific statistics, but I think, you know, everyone has a smartphone, or if that's the next purchase that someone with lower income, they're going to prioritize the phone. And so I think it's really critical for that mobile phone, for our solutions to be able to be delivered through the mobile phone and tablet. And then the other piece is, to Sana's point about the Hispanic community, you know, to be able to deliver in multiple languages is critical because, you know, cultural needs are different and obviously language needs are different, and we need to anticipate and cater to that education in the context, the cultural context that consumer is thinking about.
I've heard you mention before this concept of high tech, but also high touch. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, so, and I think that gets back to the question you posed earlier about what advice I would give to other entrepreneurs trying to think about this population. And I think that technology, you know, does wonders, and we have a lot of great opportunity to leverage technology. But building on Sana's point, we have to meet the consumers where they're at. And that sometimes means that another human being needs to be there to walk somebody through a piece, you know, something that they need to learn, or to talk them, to speak to them and listen to them about insurance. So it's the combination of high tech and high touch. So leveraging technology to deliver a richer experience to a person who needs that extra attention, I think is a winning combination, particularly in this population. Because it isn't just, here's a piece of software, you go figure it out yourself. There's probably a lot more questions. There's, you know, lower literacy rates. It's a very complex topic. So we have found that using technology to enrich that experience has been really
That's why I think it's so important for the key stakeholders in healthcare to be working together. This isn't just about launching an app and then, oh, that's going to solve the problem. It's really about, and I think your background coming from the industry and then working with the larger stakeholders is really key, because you get that high touch element from the beginning because you understand that's what it takes to really solve the problem.
Mm-hmm. So if you were, I want to inspire a couple of different stakeholders here. I want to inspire more people from the healthcare industry to jump into entrepreneurship or startups to kind of innovate and reimagine healthcare. I also want to inspire more innovators to work with startups. So I want to ask both of you what messages you would want to, you know, get out there to other former colleagues and people out there in terms of why they might want to think about either starting a startup or joining a startup, and the impact that you can have on underserved communities and taking advantage of some of the opportunities around the Affordable Care Act. And then I'm going to ask you the same question about how to get more people in your shoes in other organizations working closer with startups.
Yeah, so I think other executives wanting to join, you know, the startup world or other entrepreneurs in the process of building companies right now, I think for me, the biggest thrill is that because there's so much change and so many people, you know, seeking different solutions to problems that they have in healthcare, be it, again, insurance access, be it access to care, and so on and so forth, I think there's so much impact that an entrepreneur or startup can have with lots of people. So just, you know, in our own humble experience, starting the company a little over a year ago, we've touched, you know, well over a quarter of a million people.
Wow.
In the use of our software. And that's great, just in a very short period of time, and more to come this, you know, as we continue down the enrollment path. That's what's exciting for me. And then the other piece is the ability to learn real time. So what we're doing with the data, right, as consumers are using our software, we're watching that like a hawk, and we're seeing what they're clicking on and what they're not clicking on, and we're able to tweak real time. You know, our development team's like, okay, that doesn't seem to work. Let's play with it. Let's change that. And having partners like Emblem and Sana saying, yeah, you know, let's figure out the right way to message has been great, because this is, I don't claim to, right, have the perfect solution, but one of the exciting things is that we're learning together, and then we have the opportunity to make that impact, continue to learn and iterate, and deliver value in real time. And I think that's why I get up in the morning. That's why I get so excited.
So you like being an entrepreneur?
I fun. Do. I do.
Sana, you know, you're clearly, you know, in a position where you're probably on the cutting edge of not only your organization, but probably lots of large organizations in being open to and interested in working with startups to kind of accomplish what you do. Can you talk a little bit about inspiring others to kind of think similarly, or at least get through to others about how important it is to maybe think a little bit differently than traditionally a lot of large organizations have thought?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's incredibly important, and what we've learned, it's incredibly important to have partners. It's not about that same vendor relationship where you come in every month and present and say, this is what we're doing. You need to have people who are just as actively engaged as you are and that adhere to your philosophy and are there for you because they really want to see the improvements that you want to see in healthcare. Without that type of partnership in this new world, it's very hard to be successful. And any company that's looking to be innovative is going to look to have more partnerships like those. And they need to, because it's such a fast-paced industry now. It wasn't in the past, but it is now. And you need partners that are flexible and that are willing to work with you and that are bringing their own ideas to the table and just not relying on you for direction. You want people who are really, truly thinking about the consumer the same way you are.
And so was it hard to convince people in your organization, higher-ups and such, to kind of embrace working with a startup?
Well, I mean, that's my life.
That's your job.
That's my entire job. absolutely. I mean, you know, it's still, you know, something that was great. 75 years, right? That's how long Emblem's been around. And we have people who still believe in the way that things were. And there's a lot of, you know, great experience in the way that things were. And I think that comes to the forefront when you're having discussions.
So how do you bridge that for people in the organization or otherwise to get them to understand the potential impact you can have with working with Sally Poblete, you know?
I mean, it goes back to, Sally's a great partner in this, right? So when we are talking to our higher up executives and CEOs, she brings a very solid, succinct value proposition. And she says, and she addresses the need. And it's eventually, you know, it takes a little bit more time, and it may take not just one meeting because they're not right on it right away. It might take two, but then they see that as long as the message is consistent and they're seeing that this is somebody, this is a startup that's really knows what they want to do, and they are filling that need. And it doesn't change every time I meet with them. It's consistent. And I think eventually it does win your executives over.
Predictions for the future. What do you guys see happening over the next couple of years in healthcare, and its impact, I guess, on underserved communities would be a good way to tie it together here.
Okay, predictions a couple of years from now. No, you know, it's a prediction or a hope, if you will, a wish that the people, the underserved community, so particularly the uninsured population, continues to go down in number. Hopefully we can cut that in half in the next, you know, 2 to 5 years, that people can feel secure about having, you know, insurance, which really gives them a lot of, you know, peace of mind and access to care. So being able to get preventive care like, you know, you and I get preventive care, and, you know, get treatment from doctors and hospitals. I think that's my wish. For consumers to understand the value of insurance and how that's really important. It's not just, hey, I'm paying a premium every month and that I don't really get anything out of it, but that it's a real important aspect of your health and financial security. Actually, that's the name Wealthy for our company. That's my wish, for people to say, yeah, I, you know, my insurance company is a great partner in my health, and I understand the value that that brings. So that's
changing
my wish.
Changing perception. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
So I'm hoping that we'll stop trying to repeal it, and that'll end up stopping, and we can sort of focus on making improvements to the law, and then using those improvements to help these underserved communities. I think that the law still has a ways to go. There's a lot of implementation that still needs to happen. There's a lot of things that still need to change for it to do what it was supposed to do. And I think that affordability was one piece, but quality care and what that means to the consumer and how they leverage it, I think that's still to be seen, and how the law really does lower healthcare costs. And I think that if I predicted anything, I'd say in hopefully in a couple years, we'll really evaluate what this law has done, how many new entrepreneurs have entered it, how they've changed its scope, and then reprogram and enhance to see hopefully what, you know, would be an Obamacare point too, and have a lot of people engage in revamping a system that really needs this type of innovation.
Yeah, we keep talking about the beginning. This is the beginning of an epic decade of transformation, where this is just the beginning of a lot of these pieces coming together. If you were to choose one word to kind of wrap up how you're feeling right now about the opportunities that are in front of us, what would you say that word would be?
I'm exhilarated. I am excited every day about the journey and the work that we're doing, because I do feel the impact. I do see and feel that we are making an impact in people's lives, and that, you know, for me is again what gets me up every morning.
Sana?
I think it's reform. This is a great period of reform for healthcare, and it's been waiting for it for a really long time, right? We saw it for IT, and we saw it .com, and I think it's finally healthcare's chance to be something amazing in this country, and I'm excited to see how it's going to unfold in the next 10 years.
We couldn't agree more, and we look forward to circling back with you both as this all evolves. So thank you very much for being here today.
Yeah, Sana, Sally, thank you so much, and I want to thank our friends at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, because I think this is such an incredibly important topic for us to be focusing on, not just for entrepreneurs, but for innovators as well. So thanks to our friends at Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Thank you for listening to today's episode, and look forward to seeing you next time on Startup Health Now.